Please turn again to that portion of Scripture that we read earlier, in Luke chapter 2. And with God's Word open before us, let us again bow in a word of prayer and ask the Lord for His help again as we come to consider God's truth tonight. Lord, we do thank Thee and we do praise Thee for Thy precious Word. We pray tonight, Lord, as we would meditate upon it for a few moments at the close of this service, that You would come, Lord, and speak to all of our hearts. We think, Lord, of those especially who are not saved in the meeting, that You would save them. But, Lord, bless Your own people and encourage Your own saints, Lord. O God, that there might be a word in season for each and every one of us. We thank Thee, Lord, for Your word to our hearts today already. What a blessing. What a blessing to know that the Father sent the Son to be the Savior of the world. And, O God, we thank Thee that many of us here tonight can read our title clear to mansions in the sky, because the Lord Jesus is indeed our Savior and our Redeemer. Undertake for us now, Lord, we pray Thee. Fill us with Thy gracious Holy Spirit. In Jesus' precious name we ask it. Amen. Let me remind you again of the setting here in Luke chapter 2. 8 days after the birth of Christ, the Lord Jesus was circumcised according to the Old Testament law. And then when the days of Mary's purification were accomplished, Joseph and Mary brought the baby Jesus into the temple at Jerusalem to present Him unto the Lord. This again was according to the Old Testament law. It was while Mary and Joseph were in the temple at Jerusalem at this time that an old man by the name of Simeon entered into the temple. And taking the baby Jesus in his arms, he blessed God for allowing him to see the Savior of the world. Simeon, as we have discovered, was an aged Jew who was devoutly waiting a lifetime to catch a glimpse of God's chosen Messiah. Therefore, as soon as Simeon saw the infant Jesus, the Holy Ghost revealed unto him that this was the Redeemer, the one whom he had been waiting for. Now, we also emphasized that this is the first and only time that Simeon is mentioned in the Bible. And what a wonderful record we have here of this godly man. For a few moments tonight at the end of our service, I want to draw your attention to the declaration that Simeon made after it was revealed unto him that the babe in the temple was the promised Messiah. After finding out this wonderful truth, Simeon took the baby Jesus in his arms and made this wonderful declaration that we have here at the end of Luke chapter 2 from verses 28 to 35. And I pray as we look at these verses and consider this declaration tonight that the Lord will bless all of our hearts. If you're here tonight in this gospel service and you don't know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, I pray that even this Lord's Day that God, the Holy Spirit, will write His Word upon your heart and upon your soul. And that even as you leave God's house tonight, that you might leave knowing your sins forgiven and that you have experienced God's wonderful and eternal salvation, because you can experience God's wonderful and eternal salvation tonight. Thank God. You may have come into the meeting in your sin, heading fast to a lost eternity, but you can leave God's house tonight knowing that you're on your way to heaven, knowing that your sins are forgiven, because that is, of course, the reason why the Lord Jesus came into the world, to seek and to save that which was lost. Now, what do we learn here when we look at this declaration of Simeon? Well, first of all, I want you to notice that Simeon declared that in Christ alone was God's salvation found. Take a look at what we read in verses 29 and 30. Here we have the source of God's salvation. Simeon said this, "Lord, now lettest thou thy servant depart in peace according to thy word. For mine eyes," underline these words, "for mine eyes have seen thy salvation." Simeon here is declaring very simply and very dogmatically that the babe that he's holding in his arms is the Savior of the world. And the only Savior of the world. Simeon here is declaring that the babe that he's holding in his arms is the only source of God's eternal redemption. God's salvation is found only in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. It's a wonderful text. Indeed, we have quoted it already today. 1 John 4, verse 14, it says this, "And we have seen and do testify that the Father sent the Son to be the Savior of the world." And you know, men and women, tonight, here we have a wonderful truth, gospel truth. Christ is the only source of God's redemption. In other words, salvation is only found in the person of the Lord Jesus and in the person of Christ alone. This is what Simeon was declaring here as he took the child in his arms when he declared, "I have seen thy salvation." Isn't it wonderful? My, what a tremendous text of Scripture that is. You know, the modern thinking in religion today is that there are many saviors and that Jesus Christ is only one of those many saviors. They tell us that Mary can save, the church can save, good works can save, the sacraments can save, all religions can save. That's what they tell us today. As long as you believe in some form of religion, then you'll get into heaven when you die. But this is not what the Bible teaches. And this is not what Simeon declared here in the temple in Luke chapter 2. The Bible is a dogmatic book with a dogmatic message. Jesus only saves. He and he alone is God's source of salvation. And my friend, if you're trusting in anything else or anyone else to save your soul and to bring you to heaven, then you're trusting in a broken stick. You're trusting in a false hope. Doesn't matter how good you may be. Doesn't matter how religious you may be. The truth is this: if you're not trusting in Jesus Christ and in him alone for your eternal salvation, then you will never get into heaven. Let me ask you a question this evening. At the close of this, another gospel service, are you trusting in Christ alone? Is he your Savior? Is he your Redeemer? When Simeon looked into the face of Christ, he declared this: "Mine eyes have seen thy salvation." Have you ever looked into the face of Christ by faith and declared, "Behold thy salvation"? I wonder, have you ever considered this truth this evening? My friend, I pray that God, the Holy Spirit, will write it upon your heart and upon your soul, because there's only one Savior, and his name is Jesus. We have already discovered that. And that, of course, is the great truth not only of Luke chapter 2, but it's the great truth of this Bible, right from Genesis to the book of Revelation, both in the Old and in the New Testament. And as we have discovered in the course of these studies, the Old Testament prophesied that the Messiah would come. The New Testament declared that that Messiah was none other than the Lord Jesus Christ, the one who was born in Bethlehem's manger, the one who went and died and shed his precious blood upon the cross of Calvary for our sins. But take a look at Luke chapter 2 again. Something else I want you to notice about this declaration. I want you to take a look at verses 31 and 32. Because secondly, notice Simeon declared that Christ was God's prepared vessel to bring salvation to the Gentiles and to the Jewish nations. Now, we discovered this morning as well, but look at it again. Here we have the invitation of God's salvation, which thou hast prepared, speaking of Christ, before the face of all people, a light to lighten the Gentiles, verse 32, and the glory of thy people Israel. It's an interesting text of Scripture. In other words, God's salvation is for all nations and all peoples and all kindreds. It is for both Jew and Gentile alike. It is for the whosoever will may come. Truth is that when this world is no more and God's people all go home to heaven, heaven will be a place where all types of people will be found from all nations under the heavens. Just keep your hand in Luke chapter 2 for a moment and turn over to Revelation chapter 7 for a moment and underline verses 9 and 10 of Revelation chapter 7. We have here a wonderful text of Scripture, but again, it enlightens our hearts to the great multitude of different nations that are going to be represented in heaven. Look what it says in verse 9 of Revelation 7. After this I beheld, and lo, a great multitude, which no man could number, of all nations and kindreds and people and tongues, stood before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed with white robes and palms in their hands, and cried with a loud voice, saying, Salvation to our God which sitteth upon the throne, and unto the Lamb. Well, thank God, in heaven, when this world is no more, and all the saints get home to glory, there's going to be Jews there. There's going to be Gentiles there. There's going to be those from all nations. Why? Because the Lord Jesus Christ came to die upon the cross in order to save all types of people. What a wonderful invitation we have here. My friend, if you're not saved tonight, this invitation of the gospel is extended to you. Sinner, the invitation of the gospel is for you this evening, whoever you are, no matter what your background, no matter how much education you have, doesn't make any difference. Whether you're a Jew or a Gentile, whether you're a Protestant or a Catholic, it doesn't make any difference this evening. Thank God. The Bible tells us that whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And this invitation can be seen throughout the Bible. Let me just read you some verses very, very quickly. And I want you to pick out the word whosoever. In John 3, verses 13 to 16, we read these words, And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up. Speaking of the cross, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. My, what a glorious invitation is the invitation of the gospel. In John 4, verse 14, it says, But whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst, but the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water springing up into everlasting life. But notice again, in the ministry of Christ, how he extended the invitation of the gospel to the whosoever will. Again, this can be seen in John 11 and verse 25 and 26. Jesus said unto her, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Believest thou this? And again in John 12, verse 46, Jesus said, I come a light into the world. Listen to it. That whosoever believeth on me should not abide in darkness. And we could go on, because there are many other wonderful texts of Scripture throughout the Gospels and throughout the New Testament, yea, and even the Old Testament, that declares that the Lord Jesus Christ came into this world not only for the Jew, but for the Gentile. Romans 10, verse 12 and 13 is a familiar text. It says, For there is no difference between the Jew and the Greek, for the same Lord over all is rich unto all that call upon him. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. I wonder tonight, the close of this another gospel service, my friend, have you ever called upon the name of the Lord for salvation? Trusted him as your Redeemer. By faith and in repentance, have you ever come to him? If you haven't, then my prayer is that you will come tonight. Doesn't matter what your background is. Doesn't matter how far down the road of iniquity you may have traveled. Whether you're on the clean side of the broad road or the dirty side of the broad road. doesn't matter tonight. Thank God if you're willing to take the sinner's place and repent of your sin and confess your sin to the Lord, then tonight he will save you, because he was born to die for both Jew and Gentile alike. And thank God he was born to die for you. And I wonder tonight, in this meeting, would you not, in childlike faith, come and trust him? The hymn writer penned it well when he wrote those words: only trust him, only trust him, only trust him now. He will save you, he will save you. He will save you now. But turn back again to Luke chapter 2, and you'll notice something else here about this wonderful declaration here. Thirdly, you'll notice that Simeon declared that the nation of Israel would reject Christ, and then in time to come would receive him again. Look at verse 34. Here we can see the mercy of God's salvation. It says in verse 34, "And Simeon blessed them and said unto Mary his mother, Behold, this child is set for the fall and rising again of many in Israel, and for a sign which shall be spoken against." You know, Paul spoke of this falling and rising of Israel as well. Just keep your hand in Luke chapter 2 for a moment and turn over to Romans chapter 11. It's a very interesting portion of Scripture. We all know that when the Lord Jesus Christ came into this world, that the Jewish people on the whole rejected the Lord Jesus. They nailed him to the cross eventually, and they're still rejecting the Lord Jesus, because they don't believe that he has come the first time. They're still waiting for the first coming of the Messiah. But the truth is this: the Bible tells us that the day is coming when the Jewish people will turn again to Christ. Look what it says in Romans 11, verse 25. Paul said, "Under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, for I would not, brethren, that ye should be ignorant of this mystery, lest ye should be wise in your own conceits, that blindness in part is happened to Israel, until the fullness of the Gentiles be come in." Underline it. "And so all Israel shall be saved, as it is written, there shall come out of Zion the deliverer, and shall turn away ungodliness from Jacob. And this is my covenant unto them, when I shall take away their sins." Here we can see the mercy of God in salvation. Although Israel have rejected the Messiah, the time will come when Israel will, when God will have mercy upon them again. That's what the text of Scripture, I believe, is teaching. And that's what I believe Simeon is declaring here in this declaration. But there's a great gospel truth here. And if you're not saved, I want you to listen very carefully. And it's this: maybe you're here tonight, and up until this point in your life, you have been rejecting Christ for many years now. And you feel because of that rejection, you cannot be saved. Well, you're wrong. God is merciful. And that's what Simeon, I believe, is bringing out here in his declaration. But God is a merciful God. And although you as an individual tonight have rejected Christ many times in the past, and even tonight you have rejected him, still are saying no to his free offer of salvation. But praise God, even tonight, if you were to come in repentance and faith and trust the Lord Jesus as your Savior, he will have mercy upon your soul. Why, there's encouragement here. And we have many in Bethel who come week by week, and they've been coming for years, and they've been rejecting the message of the gospel. And we despair for them at times. Will they ever get saved? And even our loved ones, many of them are still outside of Christ, and we've been praying for them, child of God, for years, and we would despair for them. But thank God, there's still mercy with the Lord. He's long-suffering, the Bible tells us, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Is that not what we read in 1 Peter 3, verse 20? It says, the long suffering of God waited in the days of Noah while the ark was a preparing, wherein few, that is, eight souls were saved by water. Oh, thank God the Lord is a merciful Savior. Maybe there's someone here tonight and you have rejected the Lord for many years now. You're still not saved. And maybe deep down in your heart, you might feel, well, can I be saved now? Because I have rejected the Lord for so long. Will the Lord really save me tonight if I call upon him? Yes, he will. Because the Bible tells us in Numbers 14, verse 18, the Lord is long-suffering and of great mercy, forgiving iniquity and transgression. And in Psalm 86, verse 15, we read these words, but thou, O Lord, art a God full of compassion and gracious, long-suffering and plenteous in mercy and in truth. Thank God tonight he's only a prayer away. My friend, if you would only but come tonight and confess your sin to God, there is a Savior. And his name is the Lord Jesus Christ. There is a Savior. There is a Redeemer. And his name is the Messiah. The one who was born in Bethlehem's manger. The one who lived a perfect, sinless life. The one who went and died upon the cross. The one who rose again. The one someday who is coming again. The second time. That one tonight wants to be your Savior. And although up until this point in your life you have said no, willfully said no, resisting the strivings of the Holy Spirit in your life, praise God this night, this very moment, if you would yield to him, if you would yield to him, if you would turn to him, if you would cry unto him, he would save you. And he this night would give you everlasting life. The Jews have rejected him, but someday they will turn again to him and they will cry, Messiah, King of kings and Lord of lords. Oh, we see the source of God's salvation here, and we see the invitation of God's salvation here, and we see the mercy of God's salvation here in this declaration. But there's something else I want you to notice. I want you to notice, fourthly, take a look there at verse 35, and you'll see something most interesting. You will see Simeon declared that Christ would die on a cross for the sins of his people. Here we have the plan of God's salvation. What does it say in verse 35? It says this, Simeon says this, yea, a sword shall pierce through thine own soul also. Speaking to Mary here, that the thoughts of many hearts may be revealed. The sword that pierced Mary's soul was the pain she endured as she watched her son die on the cross many years later, after Simeon declared this declaration. This is what Simeon was referring to when he said to Mary, a sword shall pierce through thine own soul. He was revealing how this child would die for the sins of his people. Now, it's important that you understand that and that you see that from the text of Scripture before you. Simeon here is declaring how Christ would die. And of course, the Old Testament prophets prophesied how the Savior would die. That he would die by crucifixion. And he would lay down his life, a ransom for the many. And he would suffer for the sins of his people. And here Simeon is giving us a glimpse forward concerning the death of the Messiah. Turn to John chapter 19. Keep your hand in Luke 2 because we'll be coming back to it. But let's see the scene of the cross. And let's see this sword that pierced through Mary's soul. Oh, Mary now is standing at the cross. 33.5 years later, after the words and the prophecy of Simeon here was declared. She's standing at the cross and her heart is broke because her son is dying. Look what it says in verse 25. Now there stood by the cross of Jesus his mother. And look at verse 34. But one of the soldiers with a spear pierced his side. That's the side of Christ. And forthwith there came out blood and water. As Mary watched the scene of the cross unfold before her very eyes, was her soul not pierced with grief? Oh, I tell you, it must have been. It must have been. It was. Thank God for the resurrection. And what joy must have filled her heart 3 days later. Of course, when the Lord rose from the sepulchre, when he was alive. But oh, just think, as Mary stood by that cross, watched her son die, had a sword not pierced through her soul? I tell you, it did. She remembered, I believe she remembered the words of Simeon, that old man in the temple, when the baby Jesus was only 8 days old. She remembered those words. Oh, the Lord Jesus, this declaration of Simeon teaches us clearly that Jesus came to die upon a cross. Some people tell us, and even Christians tell us, that the Lord came to set up an earthly kingdom. He didn't really come to die. And the cross was only an afterthought. That's what they would tell us today. But that's a lie, and that's not the truth. The Lord Jesus came to die. And he came to die once only. And he came to die for the sins of his people. And child of God, you and I can rejoice in this truth tonight, that he has taken all our sins away. And when he died and hung upon the middle tree on Golgotha's brow, he died for your sins and my sins. He bore our hell in his own body upon the tree. And the nails went through his hands and through his feet. And the soldier took the spear and pierced his side. Oh, what a salvation the Lord has given to each and every one of us. My friend, if you're not saved, this was the plan of the cross. This was the plan of a cross. From away back in eternity past, God planned. God planned, even before he created the world, even before the sun was put into orbit, before the stars were put in the sky, before one blade of grass was created, before the trees and the animals were created, before man was created on the sixth day of creation, God planned that his son would come, be born in the manger, go to the cross. God planned it because he loved you. Because he loved me. Do you love him tonight? That's the question. My friend, you can't say you love him unless you're saved. Unless he is your Savior and he is your Redeemer. Unless you have embraced him as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Something else I want you to notice here. Just before we close a little earlier tonight. I want you to take a look at verse 29 of Luke chapter 2. And I want you to look fifthly that in Simeon's declaration, we see the confidence that he had when thinking about his own death. This speaks to me of the assurance of God's salvation. The assurance. Look what Simeon said after it was revealed unto him that the baby he was holding in his arms was the Messiah, the Savior of the world. He said this, "Now, Lord, lettest thou thy servant depart in peace, according to thy word." Simeon there is talking about his death. We've already emphasized that he's the old man. And he had been waiting for the consolation of Israel. He had been waiting for the Messiah to come, and it was promised by the Holy Ghost to him that he would not see death until he had seen the Lord's Christ, until he had seen the Messiah. Well, he has seen the Messiah now. He has seen the Lord. He has seen God's salvation. And now he's ready to die. He is prepared to die. Simeon was trusting Christ as his Savior. And because of that, he had no fear of death. Simeon knew that the moment he would die, he would go to heaven for all eternity. Men and women, this is the assurance that the saint of God has because of the salvation that they have in the Lord Jesus Christ. You see, God's salvation in Christ takes away our fear of death, and our fear of eternity, because the child of God knows that the moment they die, it's absent from the body to be present with the Lord. And this assurance and confidence that Simeon had thinking about his death, and we're not told exactly when he died. We're not told how long after that incident in the temple. We're not told how long after that Simeon lived. But we know this, that from that day on, he was looking forward to die, because he's going home to be in heaven for all eternity. Child of God, isn't it a great blessing to be saved tonight, to be redeemed by the blood of the Lamb, to have this wonderful assurance in our hearts that we're going home to glory soon, to see the city bright, to walk the golden streets of heaven and bask in God's own light? Isn't it wonderful to know that the Lord Jesus Christ has gone on before us to prepare a mansion for us in heaven? I go, Jesus said, to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself. But where I am, there you may be also. In closing, let me ask, sinner, you this question. Have you this assurance? If you were to die now, would you be in heaven? Are you sure of heaven? If you were to drop dead before you got home tonight, God forbid, but if you were to die before you got home tonight, would you be in God's heaven? Or would you be in God's hell? Because remember this, if you're not going to heaven, you're going to hell. If you're not going to be with Christ, you're going to be lost without him for all eternity. You see, the person that's saved, the person that's born again of the Spirit of God, the person that knows Jesus Christ as their Savior, has this assurance. And they have this assurance because God, through his Word and by his Holy Spirit, gives them this assurance. And that's why all the disciples had this assurance. Have you this assurance tonight? The Apostle Paul could say that he had a desire to depart and to be with Christ, which was far better. I wonder tonight, is there someone here and you haven't got this assurance? Well, come to Christ tonight. Be saved. Oh, be saved. His grace is free. Oh, be saved. He died for thee. And if you receive him tonight, you'll become a son of God. You'll be adopted into his family and you will receive everlasting life. You see, that's the gift of God to his people. The gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ. But it's only through Jesus Christ. And you must take the sinner's place. Trust him. What a declaration. What a declaration, and what a picture of God's salvation we have in that declaration. Because in this declaration, we have the source of God's salvation, Christ. We have the invitation of God's salvation, the whosoever will, both Jew and Gentile alike. We have the mercy of God's salvation. Praise God, although you may have rejected Christ for many years, you can be saved tonight. The Lord will have mercy on you. We have the assurance of God's salvation. We have the wonderful plan of God's salvation. Would you not come this evening? Trust the Savior. Let us all pray.